right, one on a Tuesday. Welcome in to the Gary Sharp Show. Let's talk to Robin Washer from Husker Online, who joins us now. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
Not bad. Hey, so you have let's just sift through Husker hoops right now when it comes to COVID-19. The announcement the other day, you had kind of alluded to there might be more news on the way, or essentially Nebraska won't be playing Minnesota, which was scheduled to be played tomorrow night. After you tweeted that out, it came out that Nebraska's got a little bit of an outbreak on their roster. And I know that the number that was presented, 12 in that Tier 1 group, there are some key players, as you have learned, that there are some key guys for Nebraska that have been impacted. What happens now? I mean, are we looking at no Nebraska basketball for the rest of the month?
It's certainly possible, because for them to get back into a position where they're ready to play again before next Wednesday, which would be their next game on the schedule against Penn State at home, there'd have to be some pretty market improvements, and they'd still probably be without a handful of key players, if not starters, that are currently sitting by themselves in hotel rooms right now in isolation doing quarantine. So I'd say that next Wednesday's game against Penn State is questionable at best, and probably more realistically you're looking ahead to February 3rd against Michigan State as the next time that Nebraska could realistically get back to work. And again, that's not even guaranteeing that they'll have their full roster. It just really depends on how each individual of those seven players, and obviously Fred Hoiberg, that were confirmed to test positive, how they kind of recover from this and just how long they have to kind of battle with the aftermath from it.
Is there a minimum number of players you have to play?
Good question. I guess in theory, no. I mean, because there's been college basketball games where they've played with four like within a game. So, I mean, I guess if you have the opportunity to pause your program until you have at least five players, that's probably something that Nebraska would do. But, I don't think that there's like a league-issued mandate on the number of players you have to have. I do know, though, once you get into that red, confirmed positive, those guys are all out. And then, you have to sit out for at least a week. But that's just for Tier 1 personnel. That doesn't mean, there's X amount of players. So I guess that's a question I have not asked yet. But, that's my answer for now.
With a team that's scuttling a little bit, that would benefit by everybody getting to play with Derek Walker now that he is back, and getting – everybody that you thought at the beginning of the season that would be together, but as we all manage through this in the sports world, the concern, of course, was about Fred Hoiberg, who, with his heart issue, and somebody who, we both have seen, he takes this very seriously, and he does not take any chances, and he, his players as well. Isn't it interesting as more and more programs are put on pause throughout the course of the season, that it just seems to me, Robin, in the lead up to the season, programs that were not really impacted, and Nebraska wasn't leading up to the beginning of the season, now you're starting to see, as we've gotten past the holidays and guys went home and now they're coming back to campus and there is more travel with the conference, that we're seeing those programs start to hit pause a little bit more. They were good before the season, but then this virus has caught up to them like it has to many of us.
Yeah, I think with basketball, it's an even finer line to walk than football had to go through. Obviously, with football, you're dealing with significantly more numbers, but you're in a situation where, you can separate guys, certainly by position, by side of the ball, and even break up groups within position groups if necessary. With basketball, everybody's together all the time. You're on the practice floor together. You're in meetings together. You're watching film together. You're eating together. You're in the locker room together. And if one guy gets it, it doesn't take long at all to spread. And that's exactly what happened with Nebraska. Is the first known positive was Ivan Wade-Drogo, which forced them to cancel the Purdue game a couple weeks ago. And they were still able to play because the following tests all went positive. But eventually, you know, that thing started to spread like wildfire to where, you know, 11 more people within the tier one category tested positive over the ensuing 10 days. So, I mean, that shows just how quickly things can shut down a program temporarily in basketball compared to football, where, you know, you at least had a little bit of wiggle room and a much better opportunity to, you know, isolate players. But it just spreads so quickly with the, you know, the small group that basketball is that, you know, like I said, all it takes is one for things to get out of control very quickly.
You think that the Big Ten still has the intentions of rescheduling these games that are being missed by Michigan State, Nebraska? We kind of see what the flurry of games that Penn State has. You think that's still the case, that the Big Ten wants to get everybody their 20 games?
As of now, yes. Now, if things continue to head the way they're headed, and, you know, obviously Nebraska, Michigan State, Penn State, you know, they've all had to kind of go through their issues here and go on pause and miss the, you know, a handful of games. If that continues and you're further pushing back, you know, postponing all these games, logistically it's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of a matter of, you know, how much longer are they going to be able to have to get things under control with each one of these teams, and, you know, how many more teams are going to go through issues with, you know, kind of just seems to be jumping from team to team across the country. You know, it's, who's to say that other teams within the league aren't going to have to go on pause? And so, you know, right now I still think that they have every intent to play all the games, and in doing so, it's going to be a crazy month of February, early March, to where, I mean, you're looking at multiple games, like four or five games in a week. If you're playing a double play opponent, you're probably looking at a realistic situation where you're playing consecutive days or two games in 3 days against that same opponent, just to kind of maximize, you know, the opportunity to get the games in. So it's going to be crazy. It's literally going to be kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants situation. And that's assuming that things don't get any worse than what they already are. With the way things are headed, I would not rule that out.
What do you think the conference tournament will look like?
Well, sounds like they're going to try to do a bubble situation where everybody's in Indianapolis. I guess maybe that has a chance to work. But I've heard conversations, too, about, you know, the theory that maybe they should just eliminate the conference tournaments altogether and use that week as more time to try to make up some of these postponed games. And, you know, for the Big Ten, the reason why they want to play all these games is this is such a huge year for them, where they could get, realistically, 10, 11, maybe even 12 teams in the NCAA tournament. But to do so, they got to play games. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about, you know, at-large berths, you know, if you don't play as many games as maybe somebody else that has a similar resume, that could be the difference between getting a team in or not. So, yep. You know, the conference is really hoping to get a full season played, and obviously a conference tournament, but, you know, they're going to have to adjust and probably make some pretty substantial shifts to the end of the regular season, and then maybe, you know, trying to figure out the best way to get that conference tournament in as safely as possible, to where not only you're playing it, but teams are able to continue on into the NCAA tournament without any issue.
And you look at some, you know, bracketology stuff that is out there. The Big Ten could have 12 teams in. I mean, Penn State and Nebraska, and I would say Northwestern, would be teams on the outside looking in. That's a pretty good haul, where you also might have a number one seed and possibly a number two seed, depending on what happens from here on out between Iowa and Michigan. But the one part we don't know, and I don't know how you look at it from Nebraska's standpoint, nothing you can do. You're doing the smart thing health-wise. You just got to sit and wait. But what do you think this does to the development of Nebraska basketball for the tail end of this season? Is it now just a wash and, hey, let's get to the off season and add a couple of pieces and build towards next year? How do you think Nebraska handles this time off and then getting on the floor with what could be just a wild schedule?
Yeah, it's a significant blow to Nebraska's progress that, you know, they were hoping to make by the end of this year. And obviously, it was a long and frustrating season to begin with the way the losses were piling up and a Big Ten losing streak. But, you know, you were starting to see small steps being taken in the right direction, you know, especially after that Ohio State game, which was by far the low point of the season. For them to respond the way that they did, even though they're not winning, you know, Nebraska was still trying and they were still competing and playing as if they had something, you know, to try to achieve. And that's probably the first hurdle. And then that Indiana game, you know, the last time they were actually on the court, yes, they fell behind by 18 after the first 10 minutes. But that stretch where they rallied back and eventually took a three-point lead, you know, Fred Hoiberg said that was the best stretch of basketball they played all season. And it's no coincidence that it was the first game they had Derek Walker. And so, I mean, there was some reason for optimism that, you know, maybe these guys are kind of starting to find something where, you know, they had that missing piece that they needed in the front court with Derek. Guys were starting to kind of understand their roles and, you know, playing high-level defense that wasn't slacking when the shots weren't falling. And so everything during that stretch kind of painted the picture of what this team could look like when everything's clicking. And then, of course, you know, as soon as they get that, you know, that ray of light, the door gets slammed on them for the next four or five games, probably more. And so it's a big step back. The only way this team gets better is by being on the court. And not only are they not playing right now, they're not practicing, they're not working out, they're not even around each other. Like I said, I mean, seven of their 12 available scholarship players are sitting in hotel rooms right now by themselves in quarantine. So, I mean, that part of it, you know, just not only the getting back on the court and reacclimating to pick up where you left off from that Indiana game, but just the mental part. I mean, these guys were already frustrated, already been a long season. Now they got to go through this, which, you know, as we all know, is a big hurdle, and how they respond from that will ultimately dictate what they can actually gain from whatever is left of this season for them.
Hey, let me get to we'll get you out here on football, but I got a quick question because one thing that's we're seeing a little bit more, which is nice, is there's a lot more high school basketball that's showing up on the on ESPN. Bryce McGowan's has been on a couple of different platforms playing. He was on ESPN the other night. Did you watch it? And if you did, what were your thoughts change much from what you've already seen on tape from him?
Yeah, I did. I watched both games. He played on Sunday and then Monday. Monday was the ESPNU game that was nationally televised. So, you know, that's an elite level event that they were playing in. And, you know, his legacy early college team, they were ranked 24th going into that nationally. But, I mean, they're playing multiple games against literally the best programs in the country. I think they played like three straight top 10 teams. And so he got thrown right into it. And my perspective was that his team isn't nearly as talented top to bottom as some of the teams they played, and opponents were very much focusing in on him and double teaming him and making life very difficult. It's obvious that he needs to put on weight. I think he's only right now about 175, 180 pounds. So, I mean, he's got a lot of room to grow, but certainly he has to do that, especially just being able to finish in the paint. He's getting banged around a little bit, going to the rim, and that threw off his shot. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest thing that he needs to improve on. But you just see the potential just overflowing out of that kid. I mean, he's extremely long.
Yes.
He's just got such a smooth part of his game to where he doesn't look like he's playing that hard, and then you look up and he's got 20 points. So I think he's going to be a perfect addition into Fred Hoiberg's system, especially once he gets, you know, a little bit more muscle on that frame and is able to stand up to Big Ten competition. But the sky's the limit for that kid, and Nebraska got themselves a good one.
Now let's take a little stock of Nebraska's roster. Guys are returning to Lincoln. School starts next week. Winter conditioning will be in full effect. There's still decisions to be made. You know, new faces are showing up that are early enrollees. But after a flurry of information last week, not all good. You had some departures. You had a departure on a staff. Taking stock of the current roster, what was the biggest victory for Nebraska last week in establishing this roster or adding to it?
I mean, obviously the returnees on defense, there's a case you could make that just on paper, Nebraska might be the best returning defense in the West next season, just considering the amount of experience they have and the fact that they did play so well last year, and now you're bringing pretty much everyone back, and all the you know, backups behind those starters are now a year older, a year stronger, and you know, Nebraska's defense got old and experienced very quickly, and so that, you know, they got something to work with there. And who would have thought that defense would be the hallmark of a Scott Frost program? But That's Nebraska's strength right now. And so getting JoJo Doman and both the safeties and obviously Honus, Philly, and, you know, going across the board, that was a real big deal because there's more continuity and experience and leadership on that side of the ball as there's been in a long time. And to win in this conference, obviously you got to be able to be stout on defense. You know, look at Northwestern, where they're not the most skilled team, but they make up for it with elite level defense. And I think Nebraska, like I said, on paper, has a chance to be as good on that side of the ball as anyone in the division. And if their offense is able to make any semblance of improvement, you know, they're going to have a real shot to make a big jump next season.
It'll be here before you know it. And, I think we're all disappointed. It's been kind of quiet for the first 2 days. We need something.
No doubt.
All right. Robin, as always, I appreciate it. Good stuff on Nebraska's basketball dancing with COVID. We appreciate it. Have a good week.
Yeah, you too, man. See you later.
We got a little the little wash it made an appearance there.
Sure did.
That was like Robin's like, okay, I gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. Don't ask me another question. Gotta go. And Nebraska basketball could be looking at a stretch of one game in a month. What do they look like when they come back? Like, do you, because as Robin alluded to, and I think this is a key point, it's not like you can still get together. Now, maybe quietly some guys get together. But you cannot, you can't go back to all of a sudden playing 5-on-5 right away. So you'd have to ramp up the physical part, and then does your identity look different? That's why I'm curious, Omaha went on a brief pause. Where they had two games that were canceled, and then they're off this weekend, so they've got some extended time. And they're scuttling a little bit, but they have injuries that have nothing to do with COVID. If they get those guys back, if their identity looks different, I'm wondering, Michigan State, does Villanova look different tonight? Villanova has been off essentially a month and is coming back to play tonight against Seton Hall. Now, I have noticed teams that are ranked really high that have had some pauses with COVID, they don't get knocked. Like, Villanova hasn't dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Villanova hasn't played since the 23rd of December. Villanova hasn't dropped at all.
Just hanging out.
Wonder what that'll be like when they get to the committee. As we have learned, we all have to be flexible here with our sports and a pandemic. Creighton has adjusted two game times for this week. Tomorrow's game against Providence has been moved up 2 hours earlier. Hear that noise? It's Josh and Stibbs celebrating because what they lop off like a couple hours of USC. Those guys are like on the beach now.
Yeah.
And then Saturday's game against UConn has been moved up to 11 a.m. So tomorrow's game against Providence starts at 6. Saturday's game against UConn starts at 11. Saturday's game is still slated to be on Big Fox. I know Bill Raftery is. I think Bill Raftery's doing tomorrow night's game. We haven't gotten Tim Brando in a while. Not that I'm, I wonder if he's doing the Big Fox game on Saturday. All right, Tom Chattel is coming up next. Lots to discuss with Tom, who answered a lot of questions in his column in the World Herald today. One thing, we're in a town with big sporting events that lost big sporting events last year, and the College World Series will be back. It will look nothing like what we're used to for 1 year. In terms of capacity, and I imagine stuff that goes on outside of the ballpark. The Olympic swim trials are slated to go on at the same time. There is more rumblings coming out of Tokyo that the 2021 Olympics, which are the 2020 Olympics, moved to 2021, that they are unlikely to move forward. That would be another big hit for not only the Olympians, but also for the swim trials. That would include not necessarily fans from all over the country, but all of those hotel rooms and meals and everything else that the competitors would bring to this city. So keep an eye on that. It is January 19th, but they have to do a lot of planning, and I'm getting the sense from an article that I'm reading that the Tokyo Olympics could be in trouble. All right, Tom Chattel's coming up next. It's Gary Sharp Show with George, who will have an NBA minute after last night's Golden State Laker and Brooklyn Buck event, and his best friend Oladipo having a good debut with the Rockets. That's all coming up before we're out of here at 2 on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.